Hey, everybody, welcome to the Rub Wrestling Podcast with Matt, Josh, and Chris. Hope everything's going well. Hope you're enjoying your weekend. We lost, I don't know if we lost an hour last week or we gained an hour, whatever it is, but fucking it was one less hour of sleep, which was horse shit. But yeah. Chris, where can we find our podcast? Tell everybody where they can find us and where they can listen to our angelic voices that we have delivering this wrestling podcast.
You can catch us on anywhere you get your podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you can stream a podcast, you can get us. YouTube, and always remember to like and subscribe. It does help us. Our shorts are starting to gain a little bit of traction, so it looks like some of you are starting to like and subscribe. So the more you do that, the more other people see us, and the more successful we'll be, and then we'll get sponsors. Because if we don't, it's the fans' fault.
Chris, as you know, Josh and I were obviously, we were at Dynamite on Wednesday night for the AEW show here in Toronto. And I just wanted to let you know, I did the Okada video that I sent that I made for you now as a thousand hits.
Oh, yeah. Good. Cool.
So my question, you know how I obviously start off the podcast with a question. I have two for you today. Ooh. One, my first question is, 1A is, what alcoholic beverage are you currently consuming?
Bush latte.
Bush latte as in like the coffee flavored beer, or is it like Skittle Brow?
Bush Light.
Oh, okay. It's Bush Light. Okay. And my second question to you is, and I was just going to kind of go through, does 1,000 hits on TikTok now make me a megastar?
Yeah, I'd say so. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we have to get a new host because Matt got too big for this already. That's 1,000. So yeah, it was good having you while you were here. So
it's been a slice. It launched my career, guys.
Every once in a while, you know, if you can, just for us, like put a little at one of our socials. Like not all the time, just a few times.
There is no leaving of this podcast, not a chance. Josh, it's not going to be fair to give Chris two questions and not give you two questions. Now, my first question is, I can't really remember what section we sat in. I want to say it was 113Q. Is that
accurate? 111Q.
Holy fuck. So there was a guy that actually commented in my TikTok that said he was in 111 as well. And I told him I was in 113. So I guess I fucked that up pretty bad. So I fucked that up, right?
You fucked it up.
What a misconnection.
What a fuck up. You're not really famous anymore. Now it's like, no. Matt's TikTok isn't real. He's nothing but fucking fake news.
Yeah. False flag.
And Josh, my second question for you is, does your milkshake bring all the boys to the yard?
It sure fucking does. I'm excited for Vogelbach to make a jiggly entrance. Hopefully, maybe not an opening day. Hopefully not an opening day. I hope he's not our next lefty. I'd like to see some Joey Votto in there.
I hope he like smashes that that Upper Decker home run and just stares at it for a good 10 seconds before he starts walking across the bases. That'd be fantastic.
And then gets gunned out at first on a long single that
the fan throws the ball back and then he throws him out at first base. That'd be fantastic. Wow. But anyways, we got a lot of news for you. So coming our way, we're going to kick it off with some AEW news and what we got going on there. Big, big Wednesday night Dynamite that happened in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And the crowd was fucking hot. And you know what? It was a sold out. Like, you have those stupid people on Twitter that take those pictures that are like, oh, there's like 50 people here. It was fucking 5,000 people sold the fuck out at the Coca-Cola Coliseum. Got to see the new stage. Everything for AEW what a show. It was unbelievable. I think Josh can attest, and I'm sure he'll tell you his thoughts about it when we start going through our topics. But our original topic that we're going to kick off is the show basically opened with Mercedes Moné, and then the second match it really ran into the Continental Championship with Kazuchika Okada and Eddie Kingston, and that had Japanese wrestling written all over it. And we knew that it was when we were going to watch it, but Okada ends up winning the title, giving him some some exclusivity in a way, like basically just kind of walks into the promotion and wins it. I think that's one of the first people that does that. Number two, gives him a lot of credibility, stepping stepping in with the EVPs. And my third favorite part is if you actually rewatch it in their shorts, he didn't know that the fireworks were going to come out after his title win, and it scared the ever-loving shit out of him. So, I don't know. I thought that would be funnier, but I guess it isn't. Since we're all on video, I can see that nobody's laughing. But, Josh...
sorry.
But it's okay. Josh, you were live for this, and was this match what you would expect it to be? We got a big guy in Kazuchika Okada that's, you know, Japanese strong style. You got Eddie Kingston, who is a student, if not now a master of Japanese strong style. I know that the match, in a lot of cases from what we're reading, people are saying it's a decent match. It wasn't like, you know, a 5-star or a 6-star or anything like that. But did the match meet your expectations? And do you think that Okada winning actually moves him forward in the company?
Yeah, I think the match was okay. It wasn't the best, greatest match I've ever seen, that's for sure. It was kind of what I expected. You know, I'm not a big Eddie Kingston fan. His in-ring gear was interesting. I guess that's his old gear. It was interesting. This match was a little slow. As we know from last episode, I did not think Okada was going to win. I still think it's weird to book someone to win as soon as they enter the, I don't know. I kind of feel like it discounts your other wrestlers. Also, bring him in and give him the title and then try to figure it out from there. There's not really anywhere else for him to go after that. I mean, obviously, I guess he can go up to the heavyweight title. I'm fine with the results. But it'll be interesting to see how they book him because he's a heel. He can carry that title for quite a little bit of a ways. I guess Eddie Kingston will have his own challenges in the next little while. Good thing he can go either way. You know, lots of people don't like him, so he can have a feud with pretty much anybody. I think that the match is the whole atmosphere. That's the thing that what made this event, it was definitely not the best Dynamite I've seen. It's not by far, it was probably one of maybe it wasn't even top 10 Dynamites that I've seen live, though. The atmosphere is great. The fans make the event. And I think that if you're watching an event and the fans aren't participating, then even the best wrestling is not going to make the event enjoyable. But if you, how loud the fans were, what made the event for me. And I think it was great. You're on mute.
I actually thought it was a really good Dynamite from what we've seen. I would agree with you. I don't think I'd put it in my top five. I'd probably put it in my top 10, maybe for atmosphere and for a few couple of the matches, just because, like we said, we saw something kind of unique. We saw a couple title changes. We're going to talk about the other matches that we saw and, a couple booking strategies. But I thought it was really great, but the fans definitely made it. I definitely agree to that. I mean, I just wasn't, I wasn't bored throughout the whole thing. You know what I mean? There wasn't one match that really kind of took away from me doing what I did. I mean, I had to take a bathroom break at one point, but that was in between a match. And you know what? I didn't really feel that anything was really a snooze fest at that point. Now, Chris, Tony Khan made some comments in regards to the Continental Championship recently. I'm not going to read the direct quote, but basically what is going to happen is that the rules are going to stay the same. There will be no outside interference for the Continental Championship moving forward. No changes to that rule at all moving forward. Basically, what will happen is, I think it's after, I want to say it's, is it, if it's Full Gear or the next pay-per-view, going into the Continental Tournament, that the title holder will have to be in the tournament and defend the title in that tournament to retain the title. And third, the big news that really came out of this, and this is where I really want to kind of gauge both of you, the talk is right now of really taking this Continental Championship and elevating it to AEW's second belt, which would automatically basically make the TNT Championship the television title, which is kind of, you know, how excited I get for TV titles. But do you agree with how this belt is being worked with? Do you think that Tony Khan has the right plan moving forward with this title?
Yeah. I do like it. The one thing that kind of gets to me is, I guess Bellator does it kind of the same way, where they have their champion go into a tournament and then they actually have to fight in the tournament and defend the belt on each fight. I don't know that, it doesn't make, I don't like it. because I have it right up in here in front of me reading the rules, and that's I'm fine with everything else, but when I see that, I kind of yeah, Okada's sorry, I got a little off topic there. Can you repeat can you repeat the question again? You know, I love my repeat questions.
I know, it's all good, but do you think that the rules that Tony's stating with the champion entering the tournament, the you know, the no interference rule, and basically the elevation of that title to the second most prestigious title in the promotion behind the world title, do you think that that's the right move for the Continental Championship moving forward?
Yeah, especially I think when they had Orange Cassidy at first carry the his title, and then, you know, that kind of it's not always the huge names that go after it. With Okada's a big name. You're going to have to, like, it seems strange to bring him in and put that title around him unless you're going to make it a bigger deal. I guess Tony didn't talk anything about ROH or NJPW Strong either, so he didn't say anything like that. So maybe they are. As short as it may last, maybe they may get rid of having to defend those other two titles and just make them one title. I'd probably like that rather than what we have now, because I don't even know how much that title has been defended outside of AEW anyways, so it's kind of defeating the purpose.
Yeah, I think the way that it's going to go is probably like that was the Triple Crown Championship, and I think that what's going to happen is they're all going to separate right at one point. And I think that's going to be an interesting kind of factoid when they go through that to try to see what's going to go on. So that'll be actually something that'll be really unique moving forward. Josh, are you as well with Chris aligned with what he's saying in regards to the way that they're going to operate this title, kind of more as like a, I don't know, like kind of like something that's kind of battled or challenged across the world, but not necessarily a world title?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know, Chris, when you said Orange Cassidy, were you referring to his run with the International Championship, not the Continental Championship? Because this is a different title than what Orange Cassidy had, right?
Oh, yeah. I just mean if you're going to put that title, if you're going to like elevate that title above the international title, then yeah. So, but I'm just saying the international title was that title, but like I said, if Okada's going to have this one and you have Roddy as the other one, it kind of makes more sense to flip-flop that.
Yeah, because Roddy's the international champion, which is like definitely, it's just funny because like international, continental, like it's like, so what you can fight, this one, where can you fight that one? And yeah. So how I thought that Okada, the reason Okada wasn't going to win is that like he wouldn't be defending it in NJPW anytime soon. Now, the way that it works, I guess, is that he can defend this in NJPW and is it CMLL? Is that what it is? Is
no,
that
they the can, third they promotion? Can ROH. ROH is the other promotion. Triple Crown Championship was the ROH title, the Continental Championship, and then basically the NJPW Strong Championship.
Right, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I think so. I think, like, with the way that they made their bigger two, like where they have with the women's titles, how they have two main titles and they made that the big deal. I don't know. Like if you make the Continental Championship, the second main championship, I don't think you have to label it that, but you can treat it like that by putting your main fighters, like the Moxleys, who can contend for the heavyweight championship. You can definitely put that on them to keep them relevant so that they're keeping in a hot storyline versus, you know, kind of falling into like irrelevancy when they're not being able to chase something. So this gives them that opportunity. I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see who Okada fights next. I think that there's going to be some like lag time with how he works with the wrestlers. Like I know he's worked with a lot of international wrestlers, but I just think that like his style compared to some of the styles of the wrestlers that they have in AEW and then like not being able to communicate as well, he's going to probably work with guys who've worked in Japan for a little bit. So
yep. And that's basically going to set up the next match, because what ended up happening on Dynamite was obviously Okada won the title. Pac came out and basically setting up the story there. He just kind of walked up the ramp and then walked back. So That'll be an interesting. That's got big match written all over it, and I think a lot of fans are going to really be excited to bring CPOC really back in action, because I think pound for pound he's probably one of the best wrestlers AEW has, and I think the more and more that he can kind of go through that, he brings relevancy also to Death Triangle back for with Rey Fenix and for El Zero, Penta El Zero Miedo, right? So there's some relevance with that too, that with Pac's return. So now for the next one, we're going to save the main event for our third topic, but the one that we kind of do want to talk about is just the booking of Hook. Hook was on Dynamite and obviously fought Chris Jericho, and don't make any, like, no bones about it, he smashed Jericho. Basically, he pulled a Brock Lesnar and he sent him to Suplex City about 4,000 times with Germans, Northern Lights release suplexes. There was a one arm and a T-bone suplex in there. Like, there was a lot of suplexes. Jericho took a beating in this match. He fought back a little bit at the end, but he got smashed. Now, you know, overall, for when you kind of look at Hook, he's AEW homegrown. Organically he's built his credibility with the fans, but it seems now that it's really kind of getting a push, and he's got this almost like I'm never going to lose mentality to it. Now, Josh, I usually ask this for Chris, but if you're going to come through and you're going to book Hook, you know, he's listed at 220. We've talked before that we think he's significant less than that. What would you do if you were Tony Khan to really book Hook moving forward, because it seems like they're booking him as a destroyer, but he definitely isn't a 300-pound monster that's going to go through it. So is there legitimacy here with the booking, or would you change it up?
That was funny, because watching this match, I was shocked. I mean, there were several things I was shocked about. One, that Chris Jericho was getting booed in Canada. And then two, that, like, he didn't come out. I think partially he got booed because he didn't come out to Judas and piss the fans off because they didn't get to sing along. Had he came out to Judas, I think that he gets treated a little bit differently. But yeah, I think, like, with Hook, my gripe with the way that he's booked is that, like, it's very evident that he is, like, not as well-versed in running a match, right? Like, he definitely has the physical skill set. Like, I would put him in, like, the same echelon as, like, a Logan Paul. Like, his physical ability is there. It's just that, like, you can very clearly tell that he's, like, clunky with his punches, like, with running into the ropes and all of those things. And what Chris Jericho did in this match was showcase all of the things that Hook was really great at. And I really, you know, applaud Jericho for that. But I think that, like, it's really a tough booking because, like, you are booking him as a monster, and he's very clearly not a monster. And, like, with the way that fans have been trained, and, like, the way that a lot of us know how real, like, fighting works, is that, like, a Hook is not going to beat an Omos in a fight, like a hands-on-hands fight. Like, and they're booking him like he's beating everybody. Like, they're booking him to throw around Brian Cage. And, like, that's not the way. You can book him to win, but the way that they're booking him to win and how he's so dominant, it's crazy, because he's so dominant over these, like, vastly physically superior athletes. Now, Jericho, not so much right now. Jericho, the way that the book of Jericho is very weird, but, like, it's like he's doing the reverse thing. He's going into his final countdown and he's just losing every match, right? Like, versus, like, which I think is good for the younger wrestlers. It's just, I don't know. I feel like if you book stuff like this, you have to keep them like this forever. And it's just, like, it's not the same as when Taz was doing it. Taz was shorter in stature, but, like, thick. And he was doing it in ECW where he had that different, I don't know. He was just explosive. It was much different. You believed it. But, like, with Hook, I'm not saying that I don't believe it. It's that, like, I'm not ready to believe the way that they're booking him. And that's fine. The fans seem to be okay with it. It's just really bizarre to me. Like, it's I don't know. I don't know how I would change it.
Chris, like, if you were looking at this from a perspective of kind of, like, outsider looking in, obviously we don't know of everything, but do you think if you were Tony Khan and you were kind of sitting here, do you think that you're sitting on, like, you know, a pile of money with Hook? Because it almost feels like he is, and it almost seems like in a lot of cases that he thinks that, like, I almost feel like, it sounds weird, I never want to accuse this word because it's such a bad word, but I feel like he's one of Tony's favorites. And it's like he's just put in these positions to succeed. And really, like Josh is saying, like go out and, you know, dominate somebody like, you know, Brian Cage or Chris Jericho. When I think we all know if we were to pick between Hook and Logan Paul at this point, I think every single one of us would probably pick Logan Paul's athleticism over Hook's. So what are your thoughts here? Do you think that he's being pushed too soon? That he should just kind of ride it out? Because, I mean, he's had that FTW title forever, and I think it's time to get rid of that too. So what do you think overall?
I think this is kind of his second go at it, right? He was pushed really hard for a while, and they did keep him when he was in the group. He didn't do much he didn't wrestle much. They kind of kept him protected while they worked him up. Then he went on his streak, which they even talked about, and then he kind of disappeared for a bit. He became irrelevant. Now he's coming back basically with the same force as when his first push was. I agree. He's a favorite, but I think he was pushed too hard too early and earlier on. And then we saw that he doesn't have the in-ring really, like the psychology part down yet. It's got the he can make a throw, but it's getting to that throw, right? The in between each throw is where it's kind of lacking right now. So I think maybe this time we'll get. We'll see what happens once he's got more practice, more work, more reps, and they're pushing him again. But still not great in the ring. So I don't know how much that tells you about, you know, how much his look and charisma without talking is gonna get over. So I mean, we'll see. I mean, he's definitely got the potential there physically for sure. But it's whether he's gonna wrap his head around how to work the business and do the smaller moves.
Yeah, 1,000%. I think we could all agree with that. Now, this is more of a short answer question. I'll give you a little bit of lead up, but there was kind of a little bit of an incident that happened at Dynamite with somebody that was sitting in 111R right behind Josh and I, who basically, when Chris Jericho was wrestling, he basically said, "Chris Jericho needs to fucking retire. He's a disgrace." And me and Josh couldn't fucking believe that this guy said this. Now, Chris Jericho in AEW has had these weird moments where kind of he was really thin. He got a little bit heavier. He kind of took some time off. He got thin again. He looks a little bit more on the heavy side now when he's coming back in. We know that he's in the glory stage of this career. But Chris, short answer question, is this fucking asshole out of line for saying that, especially in Canada, like, and fucking cheering for Hook?
He's not wrong for cheering for Hook, but he's wrong saying that for sure. Like it's a disgrace for him to say that. Not like Jericho is still he still can do things better than a bunch of wrestlers who are younger than him, right? So and he's doing the job most of the time. So it's like he's trying to give back. He's trying to put other people over. So if you hate him that much and you're cheering for Hook, then he's kind of doing his job. So that's good. But I mean, even we've said it. We've said he's on the twilight of his career, and I get it. But I'd never yell that he's a disgrace.
I think it's just a lack of respect that we're sitting here having to even talk about it. Like, this guy's the first ever undisputed world heavyweight champion WWE, the first ever undisputed champion. And he's probably been one of the biggest draws over the year. And just sitting there and saying, like, you know, this guy fucking saying to retire. Like, I obviously don't know who this guy is from a hole in the ground, and who fucking cares now. Josh, I think we talked about this. Did you agree with that statement?
Oh, I mean, like... The longer I sat and listened, the worse it got. Like, it wasn't just Jericho. All the comments, like, they clearly never watched wrestling. Like, they were like a once in a lifetime kind of like show up and be like, "Oh, who's this guy? What's this guy?" Like, they were so poorly knowledge. Like, they had no knowledge about what was going on. I think that, you know, fuck that guy. And that's kind of what I thought. It's just like, if anything, it just gets annoying when you hear people who are making comments about it. Like, they can go out there and do what they're doing, and you're like, they should just retire. Like, you should just die. How about that? Like,
now, the best part was the two guys that were in front of us, and I don't know what would be after before Cube. I think it's Element and P, so it would be in 111P. Two guys in the front. You guys were the aisle seats in 1 and 2, I believe, or whatever it was. Fantastic guy had an NWO shirt. They were fucking pounding back bruise. If you listen to this podcast, fucking A1. Two guys in front of us, two thumbs up. Fucking guy and fucking loser girlfriend behind us, 7 fucking thumbs down. Get lost. So I'm not angry, by the way. But when we go through it, brought us to the main event. So Josh and I listened to that bullshit for an hour and a half. And then basically we got to the main event of the evening, which ended up being Adam Copeland and Christian Cage going for the TNT title in an I Quit match. Chris, you wouldn't believe how close Josh and I were of having basically Edge and Christian or Copeland and Christian coming up the steps to our section. We were one section off.
Oh, that would have been so. That would have been so cool.
One section off, and that basically what it was. I think it was 112, or maybe even two sections at 113 that they went up. But lots of cool shit in this match that happened. One of my favorite moments. Basically, they basically break out through the back curtains. They end up where all the concession stands are, and then Edge does something, takes somebody's beer, drinks it. Then he can't find Christian. Christian runs into the ladies' room and he hides out. Four women run out, and then Edge goes in there to go get him. There, you know, there was hockey references. There was the Maple Leafs beating up the Bruins in the penalty box with a couple of plants stealing some of the jerseys. There was a hockey goal that came in, some broken hockey sticks. It was just sheer chaos is what it was. And basically Copeland gets the win by, you know, having some interference. Basically, the patriarchy interferes first. Then Daniel Garcia and Daddy Magic come down. Matt Menard, they start handcuffing everybody to the rings. Then basically, I don't even know, Copeland kicks like Christian in the dick about 10 times. And then takes Spike and hits him in the dick there about another 10 times until he finally quits. And just a crazy match and beautiful, beautiful storytelling all the way through. It's what an I Quit match should be. I think somebody at one point, Bryce Remsburg, basically hands the mic to Edge. He says, "Hey, like, Cope Adam, do you quit?" And he goes, "Fuck off, Bryce," or "Screw off, Bryce," or something like that, basically, and kicks him out. It was just entertaining as hell. Now, Chris, this is pretty much written on the wall for Christian's title and how this was going across the bill. Like, I think this was, you know, Copeland's chance to actually win the title. Are you happy with the outcome? And where do you think Adam Copeland goes from here? Who do you think his next opponent would be if you could pick?
Yeah, I'm pretty good with the booking. I don't mind seeing Edge take that title, but I hope it just doesn't take Christian off TV because, man, like, for charisma-wise, mic skills-wise, comedy of the story, so far in the last while, I would rather see Christian on TV than Sledge, but where he goes, I guess he could go anywhere. Again, it depends what they're going to do with this title now. Now you have two kind of big names. Okada's obviously at this point a bigger name than Edge, I think, if you ask me. So like, is he now going to take that role where it goes down, and is he going to, maybe he defends it against a lot of younger wrestlers moving forward, or do they keep the Christian thing going, or do you think that that's kind of run its end now?
Like, yeah, I mean,
what do you think it's ran its course?
Well, I think when you kind of look at the whole thing with Copeland and Christian, it probably has run its course at this point, but I think there'll always be that rivalry and that hatred there that you can always build it back up if you really need a match or you need something going on, right? You know, I don't know if you go back and give Christian his rematch. I don't know if you kind of, it's a couple different things that can happen here, right? I thought, like, maybe out of courtesy, he would give Daniel Garcia a shot at it.
If that
comes out and really give Daniel Garcia a way to showcase his skills. And, you know, like, that whole entire group is basically getting a little bit stagnant anyways. So, I mean, you could start to see, you know, Angelo starting to go with Ruby Soho a little bit. And, you know, these two guys are kind of left out, not in the cold. I mean, Menard's definitely left out in the cold if he doesn't have a tag team partner. Garcia will get by no matter what he does, especially even if you were to send him potentially even ROH to kind of, you know, build up some match credibility and stuff there with some bigger opponents. But really tough to say. Now, Josh, this match was pretty nuts on the way through. I mean, what were your thoughts of the match overall watching it live? Like, and then going back, and I know that you and I have both gone back and watched Dynamite televised. Did you notice a big difference from watching it televised compared to what we saw when we were there live watching it?
Yeah, like, I think that I always like watching wrestling on TV because you get to hear the announcers and they get to help you through the story, which is great because like, but of course this match didn't need that because they booked this match to tell the story in front of this group of fans. Like you're not going to have a hockey match, like a hockey fight match in an American city, unless it's in Minnesota. Otherwise it's not going to make any sense because, you know, it would make no sense for it to be football. And obviously I think, everything that they did with this match and everything and the way that the fans reacted was exactly perfect. I do not like watching a live event match where I don't get to see the action. I hate watching it in the back. It sucks. But like, you know, for the story, it's great. It was just like, unfortunately for a large group of heavy, like people who were paying a shit ton of money, they couldn't see anything for a period of time because they weren't putting it on the screen, and because the action was happening in the stadium on the floor, and they say, and there was a chant going, can't see shit, can't see shit, can't see shit. Like the fans, the fans made the match better, right? Like the match itself was probably B+ because it's you know, it's going to be clunky. It's not perfect in-ring match, but the fans made it an A plus match for me, and I really think it gave us everything that we wanted to see. And you know, to Chris's point with like what's the next day, I think that they could continue this feud where Christian pesters Edge and Edge continues to prevail for the next little while. That might not happen at all. I think that Christian could, you know, easily insert himself into the TNT title, like, you know, one of those other titles where it's like he's trying to get his group over or whatever it is, or he has a feud with Killswitch, which is kind of an inevitable. It seems like Killswitch might have a face turn. Jack Perry could come back and maybe him, and you know, that's kind of what happens. I don't know. I agree. I don't want to see Christian go anywhere because like his storyline makes me giggle. But I'm kind of hoping what happens is that Edge has his run with the title as a face, and then slowly becomes jaded or something happens and he becomes a heel, and we can get that Christian and Sledge or Christian and Adam Copeland tag team title run. Because that's what we all want to. That's what I want to see. I don't care about their singles. I want to see them together in a match with FTR, the Young Bucks, tables, ladders, and chairs. Like, bring it on.
Yeah. We need tables, ladders, and chairs for that.
Exactly. So that's what I want to see.
Good point. And I think that says I'm going to kind of give you one last question here before we close up the AEW stuff. But short answer, no explanation, Chris. Is Christian Cage at 50 worthy to be an AEW world champion at this point?
Ooh. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe a transitional champion. Maybe something that's very short term, but much like WWE, I feel like it would be like a gift to Christian. It wouldn't exactly, like they're doing it because they feel they have to. You know, mic-wise, promo-wise, you know, his presence, he's got that. I don't know. I mean, they gave Samoa Joe the champion.
Just say yes or no. You don't have to explain it. Just say yes or no.
I'm thinking. No.
Josh, yes or no?
I'm going to go opposite. I'll say yes, but I don't think it's going to happen. So, no.
But, yeah, no. I mean, you guys might not agree with that, but I think we can all agree with Christian is that, like a fine wine, he is aging beautifully.
Hey, Matt, can I say one thing before we move to Dynamite or to WWE? Rewatching Dynamite and seeing Don Callis come in, what you see on the TV doesn't exemplify what happened in real life, because in real life, you could not hear what Don Callis was saying at all. In fact, like the announcer said, you can't hear what Don Callis is saying during Dynamite. Like, when you think about like Dominic Mysterio coming out and hearing that noise, and like, you know that it's pumped in because it's louder than it should be on TV. But like, it was turned down on TV at AEW. And I'm telling you, the noise, the hate, like the fear and hate for Don Callis. Like, in fact, like the first booze got the second booze, making even louder. And like, it was just like this big, like symphony of booze. And like, as soon as like it started to calm down for a second, nope, we're not letting you talk, Don. Scream. You don't care what you're saying because we know we just want it to be like, and it was like epic. And I don't think that there's too many places that you could go and you would hear something like that in wrestling. Now, you might hear it in football, like European football, not American football. Definitely not an American boo. It was a Canadian boo, like a European, like when you're thinking like basketball in Serbia, level loud.
Yeah, you know what? It was mental. I actually do have the video of that. It's not the full video of him talking, but I think I got a good 30 seconds to a minute of him going off, and you can't even hear on the video him even say a word. So, yeah, what a hell of an experience. It was great to go, and yeah, it was fantastic. So if you ever get a chance to do that, if you listen to our podcast and you get a chance to go to an AEW live event, absolutely do it. It's worth it. Now, we're going to move on to the WWE, and we're going to kick it off. We're going to start a little bit majoritively with SmackDown because that was the most recent show that we got to see. And we got to see Rey Mysterio's returning in Santos Escobar on Friday night. It was the opening of the show. And basically, Rey gets screwed by somebody in a mask. And then the mask comes off, and it's Dominic Mysterio doing his thing, coming into two shows and basically screwing Rey out of the match. Santos Escobar gets the win. But basically, we kind of create now a potential to see Mysterio versus Mysterio numero dos, which should be really interesting to see, especially in WrestleMania, if that does go down. Now, we don't know if that is the match. But, Josh, if you're looking at this and you're thinking about Mysterio versus Mysterio dos in Philadelphia on probably 2 weeks' notice, do you think that match is going to have a ton of notoriety going into it, even though it only has 2 weeks of notice?
Oh, man, it's the only match I want to see, I think. Dominic Mysterio.
He's back, baby.
Like, if you could just give me zero matches with Dominic Mysterio, I would be fine with that. But he's doing his job. Don't get me wrong. I just... like, do I want to see a him and his dad match? Absolutely not. But, you know, like, give it to us. It turned me around. And, but like, it's, again, I just don't like his work. I love his heel work, though. I just don't like anything in between a set of ropes with Dominic. It's not, I would just rather see somebody else because, for me, he's just not my cup of tea. And that, it's okay. I'm allowed to have one. He's my one.
That's fine that you're allowed to have one. But my question is here, another question that's going to come, and this will be for both of you, is that we saw the first one, and he's much better. I think we all have to agree that he's much better than he was a year ago. Does that make for a better match going in than the first one because he has had a lot of experience? Like, he's had much more of that experience? We all agree. We've talked about this before. He needs about probably another couple years to get really, really good. He's not... like, he never grew up with Lucha Libre, like, learning how to do, like Rey did. Like, he never did. He picked it up after he was playing football after high school, right? Now, but is that going to make for a better match the second time around? Chris, what do you think? Is it a better match the second time around than what we're going to see from the first one? Like, I mean, I don't think he's coming out in a prison thing anymore with, you know, like, the whole prison gimmick. But what do you think?
I hope he does. That was my favorite entrance of the last WrestleMania. I'd like to see it. They've been away from it for a while, and you know, they've only wrestled once. Rey's still there. Why not juice this thing as much as you can while you can? Because Rey's not going to be there forever. Dom's heat is nuclear, and Rey is just like the littlest baby ever that everybody loves, right? So I hope they do brand it as Mysterio Dos. That'd be cool. I would like to see it. I think I'd look forward to it. Interesting to see what they could do because, you know, they have that one match to look back at. So there could be things that they could definitely improve upon, and then maybe they'll build on that. I love Wade Barrett so much. If that's Rey Mysterio, who's in the ring?
Josh, I want you to be the booker here. Where do you put it on WrestleMania if it does show up? Night one, night two, and where do you put it?
Pre-show, for sure. that's where I want to see it. It'd probably be a note one early on, after maybe after like a big banger of a match, something that you're not too worried about. Yeah, night one, I think, early on. I think that there's less hype for this match. Like, I actually think that, like, with so little time left, that it's kind of weird that this match is happening. I almost would have rather seen an Escobar versus Mysterio match, because obviously that would be a much better match. But
I don't know if this match is even set. This match isn't even set in stone. Like, it still could be Escobar and Mysterio, right? Like, we don't know what it is. It just, I thought it was an interesting topic, because having Dom come out and basically have Dom leave with Escobar would probably lead more into Dom and Rey than maybe Escobar and Rey. So I don't know where it would go. I mean, would you rather see, I think from, you know, a wrestling purist point of view, you'd probably want to see Escobar and Rey and their feud, because Rey got injured, right? So, I mean, it can go any which way, but I mean, which match has more money to it? Do you think it's Dom and Rey, or do you think it would be Santos and Rey when you're going forward?
Oh yeah, for sure. It's Dom and Rey. I think that I'd like to see a stipulation. I'd like to see a Dom Rey loser retires match, and you know, or a loser leaves the barrio kind of thing, whatever they want to call it. I don't know. But I feel like it's got to be something. You can't just have another match where you have the same two guys with like the same move set, where one clearly does the move set much better than the other. Right. Like, so yeah. Just as a, like, again, it'd be, yeah, I don't know. Pre-show. That's where I want to see this.
Chris, if it does end up being Santos and Rey, do you think this is going to really be the boost in the arm of Santos Escobar's career to really push him forward as one of the better stars on SmackDown?
I think it's, yeah, I think it's the best opportunity if you want to push him, is to give him that win over the big name. So yeah, I think that's how I probably see it going, is probably Rey doing the job again, just like Jericho. He's older, so I think they're gonna try to, that's gonna be their, try to springboard. It's kind of like a passing of the torch, like, to a Mexican wrestler, because Dom, you know, they're not gonna give it to Dom. So if it goes in that case, then that's how I would see it going, to boost his career. I think they'll get behind him. He seems to be showing up. He's in a big storyline now with two pretty prominent players. You can say Dom's a prominent player now. So it looks like they're trying.
Yeah, they'll be probably further down the road. I think, like, we'll kind of end this topic and move to the next one. But there's another really good comparison that I have with Escobar later on. But if he does end up, you know, fighting Rey and winning on, then we'll talk about that at a later date. But our next topic for WWE is going to be basically the LA Knight and AJ Styles match, which is starting to get fucking crazy, which is basically, I think it was LA Knight showed up to AJ Styles' house, tried to like beat the shit out of AJ in his house, and then AJ like said, oh, I'm not gonna press charges. Like, so has Pillman and Austin written all over it, just without the gun. And the problem here is that for me, when I look at this as a topic, is that you got basically two wrestlers that want to go to the same spot, and you're looking at potentially only having to take one, right? Like, because WrestleMania is the end of the year. It's the biggest match. You're going to get more credibility to the winner. The loser is going to kind of take a little bit of a hit. So the question ends up being here, AJ's worked his tail off to get back into that main event spot. LA Knight basically arguably could have, you know, under different circumstances, if Reigns wasn't the title holder, potentially had a universal title shot, potentially would have won the title in other years. Now the question is, who do you move forward with here? What is the best plan? Is AJ, should it be AJ that moves forward? Do you go with that experience level, the top draws and the big matches that he's had in the past of his career? Or do you go with the newcomer with LA Knight, who again is really doing well, or used to do well with the merch sales when he was at the very top? Clearly very over with the fans and could clearly really benefit from having this move, because we've talked about his age and he doesn't necessarily have tons of shots moving forward. So, Josh, who do you want to see move forward here? Do you want to see LA Knight get the win at WrestleMania, or do you want to see AJ Styles get that W?
I'm not really, like, I'm kind of indifferent with this one. I kind of feel like they probably should book it to be LA Knight because he's kind of the one who's like his trajectory is going this way. Not to say that AJ Styles is going down this way, but AJ Styles has already been to the higher echelons, whereas like LA Knight could benefit a little bit more. I'm not sure the fans are as the fans are clearly not as invested in AJ Styles as they are with LA Knight. However, with The Rock being back, like a lot of people are saying, like LA Knight's kind of just doing what The Rock has always done, and now that The Rock's back, like why do we care about LA Knight at all? I'm not sure. I don't think this match is going to be a banger, so like I'm kind of cheering for. I'd rather see AJ Styles win just based on his in-ring ability. LA Knight, I'd like to see because I'd like to see someone like you know be able to get organically over and actually get their just desserts because they actually did the work with very little time. Like I think what LA Knight has done, he took like a very small spark and turned it into a forest fire with his small opportunities that he got. So I think that there's something to be that warrants rewarding that. Whereas AJ Styles, I just don't think he's moving the needle right now. I really like the way that this feud is going though, because like I was watching and I thought it was hilarious. It looked like an episode of Cops and like they're fighting on the lawn. Like, and I understand that you're saying that like it's like Austin and like Pillman, but like AEW just did a promote, like just did this with it. They're doing this currently, right? Similarly with Swerve and Hangman Page, or they just did it as well. So I think it's obviously AEW took it a little bit farther, farther with the getting the kids involved, but that's how they do it because they're not PG. So.
Chris, who do you want to see going through here? Do you want to see LA Knight get the traffic and move up, or do you want to see AJ kind of get like reinserted back into that title picture to really put on some good quality matches with the top tier talent on SmackDown?
I would like to see LA Knight get the push. I'd like to see him get over that hump, but like Josh said, like his voice is even similar to The Rock, so. Like it's hard not to say he's not a clone of The Rock, but yeah, he comes up and with much of the same stuff. So, and I love AJ. I love watching him wrestle. I think AJ brings a lot, and I think it'd be easy for him to get back that that fan love. So I'm gonna go with AJ on this one. It's just something I'd rather see, and you can kind of keep building with AJ. It seems like LA Knight's hit that plateau, so it's like you're gonna get the win, and then you're probably gonna have to give AJ that spot anyways, so why not just go with AJ?
Yeah, I also think it's really silly. I think, you know what, the sad part is of it is that, you know what, we've also watched, and this is going to be a little bit off topic, but, you know, we've watched, Carl Anderson, the Machine Gun, and basically Gallows be moved to NXT. And you know what? I think WWE really dropped the ball. And I think if they would have kind of kept those two guys and AJ on a winning track and really be the killers that they should have been, I think like we'd probably be talking a little bit differently about AJ Styles and where he would sit in WWE at this point. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, I think sending those guys over to NXT is going to be a big help to the people at NXT. But they haven't really lost a step. Like they looked great on NXT when I watched them last week. And even when they had the tag team match this week, I felt that that was probably one of the better matches that they've had. Even when they held the titles, they weren't having the greatest matches. Now they're kind of turning it up a notch, and Anderson and Gallows have gotten into a little bit better shape. And, you know, it'd be really interesting to see if they can kind of rekindle something here to really kind of set AJ as the leader of that group and, you know, change the name, drop, you know, whatever her name is, Mi Chin or, you know, Mia Kim or whatever it is, like just get rid of her completely and just go with those three guys and just have them as like maybe another stable or something that could really be kind of like a faction that would be really somebody to mess with, right?
What a weird group, eh? Like they just go from promotion to promotion, literally they get big intros and then like literally around for a month and they're like buried everywhere they go. They're never unemployed, but they're never given too much of an opportunity either.
Well, my first introduction to Carl Anderson in NJPW was that he was a double champion. Like I think he was the open weight champion, and he was a tag team champion, right? So when you're looking at him, like people, like you're sitting there watching this guy, and you're like, how the fuck is this guy not North American wrestling? You know, and doing the things that he's doing. And I mean, they had a great life and what they had in New Japan, don't get me wrong, but the transition to the States, I thought would be much easier for them. And it really hasn't been. It's been really difficult for them. So with that, we're going to go into the final topic of the evening, and we're going to kind of go through, obviously, like, the main event is really where, you know, of WrestleMania. It's going to be night one, night two. It's going to be, you know, you're kind of looking at Seth, Cody, Rock, and Reigns. Everybody kicking here, but, you know, you watch on SmackDown where Cody shows up and him and Reigns are talking back and forth, and the last few weeks has really been about one consistent topic that's kind of come out of here, which is, hey, he doesn't like you. Like, he's going to screw you over. So my question becomes, on night one, what are the odds of us, number-wise, like, pick a numerical value, what are the numbers of Seth basically screwing Cody on night one so that, you know, basically Roman has that, you know, that Bloodline rules match on night two? Do you think that that's what's going to happen, or do you think that the Bloodline is going to screw somebody in the match? Because let's face it, there's a lot of intangibles going on here. We can go a lot of different roads with this, but my question to you, Chris, is what are the odds of Seth screwing Cody on night one?
I think pretty low. When you say, I hadn't even been thinking about it, but when you say it, I love it. Yeah, I'd love to see it. But I think it's, I just think it's pretty low. I think he's got his own thing to do with the world championship. If they were going to put the belts back together again, make a little bit more sense if that was the idea of the story. Maybe they will, who knows? But I just think, I'd say like less than 20%.
Josh, what are your thoughts? I mean, you know what? It seems like, I said, it seems like a talking point that they've been doing to kind of get in his head for the last 3 weeks, storyline wise, right? Now, could there potentially be an opportunity where Seth does screw Cody and then potentially drops the title to Drew, and then Drew potentially goes on a face run? I don't really know what happens here, but what's your numerical value and what do you think is the likelihood of that happening? Because it seems really prevalent in the storyline that that's something that they really want to get inside Cody's head, that he's going to fuck him over.
Yeah, I definitely think that, like, I agree with Chris. I think that there's like a, I think it's like a 10% chance that he screws him over, only because he's booked as a face right now. So like, he'd have to be like, if he screws Cody over, then how do you book him as a face on the next night to face Drew McIntyre? And I'm not saying that Drew McIntyre shouldn't become a face, but like, he already been done doing as a face, and he didn't do very good. It's not doing it for me. I'm liking his heel version. And then like, I kind of feel like, I'm almost expecting Rollins to lose to Drew McIntyre to set up the McIntyre CM Punk feud, because like, I feel like that's kind of been brewing, and it sounds like, you know, CM Punk's gonna be back, and he's gonna win a title shot almost immediately, because, you know, he's the greatest in the world who can make it through a match without getting injured. Oh wait, no, that's not true.
Hey Josh, I'm gonna say it with you right there. Okay, right there. Now this is my other question: if CM Punk fights Drew McIntyre, which body part does he injure in that match?
Okay, let me say, it's going to be an oblique strain. That's an oblique tear, maybe, because I feel like he's on tricep, bicep. So you're going to go away from the arms, but I'm going to say it's going to be an upper body injury.
The first thing that popped in my head, groin tear.
Okay, there you go. Okay, so lower body. All right, interesting. It definitely is not going to be. It's not going to be something that's going to affect his mouth. He's still going to be able to talk.
He's going to get the gout.
The gout. Okay.
My dad has gout.
You guys are eating too many fatty liver stuff. Like,
I think a lot of it was just from beer, and so he's cut out the beer, and then he's on the medicine. And yeah, it's kind of funny. It's whenever I hear goat, I'm like, oh man, my dad.
Goat is for like wealthy people eating pate, too much fatty feast.
I have the goat, yeah.
Shut up, really?
No goat about it. Like, I had it. I was
no goat about it.
I don't know. I was eating tons of red meat in Toronto, and then I wake up and I'm like, my toe. Fucking hurts, and then you try to sleep, your sheet can't even touch it, like it's so tender. And then I also it was terrible. I was a wreck. Like I also had a slipped disc in my neck at the time, so I'd have to go to physio, and then it would take, physio is 5 minutes away from my house, so it'd take me like 10 minutes just to get there walking. because I'd have to stop when your flip flop touches it, and it's so painful.
You're just like, but yeah. Ow.
You need a little scooter like Bobby Hill got for that. Yeah. When he had goat.
I just to be honest, I drank nothing but water, like tons and tons of water for 2 days straight, and it basically went away. And then I cut down my red meat consumption, and now I'm fine.
That's fun. It's funny that it's red meat. I think a lot of people, it ends up being, it's like booze and like, yeah, it's wine. like anything acidic, right? And yeah. Josh is right, like fatty foods and stuff. But yeah, no doubt about it. Like, best pun I've fucking heard on this show, bar none.
I have to give that one to, I have to shout out the Ryder Cup people, because that's somebody had gout on our golfing trip, and that's where all these came out.
Oh, fucking the, you know what? It's crazy because the pills are nuts for that. Like, it throws your body like way out of homeostasis. I know we're kind of off like WrestleMania, but that's 2 weeks away. But this is gout is in your 40s. That's our WrestleMania. Let's be for real here.
Let's do odds on, will anybody get the gout before WrestleMania? Let's see what.
Fuck,
for us, low. Zero for me.
Yeah. No, I mean, probably. Wrestlers. Imagine.
Oh, wrestlers.
Because just because we talked about it, all of a sudden someone gets the gun, the gout, the gun.
The gun, Jesus. Yeah, if they drink, maybe, you know, it'd be more likely that someone back in the day got gout. Like, you know, I bet you maybe Andre the Giant had some gout.
So, you know, some people have to have kidney stones, like, I mean, for sure. And that's another thing that happens with the uric acid crystals, right?
If if somebody gifts their opponent on SmackDown before WrestleMania like a box of red wine, we know it's a possibility. Well,
so funny. Well, it's good to see that everybody thinks that the Seth thing is low, because I think that night one, night two main events are going to be pretty interesting moving forward. We're really closing in on that date on April 6th and 7th, and we're going to be looking at kind of a monstrous show. You know, it's so gosh darn exciting. That's the best way to put it. So, Josh, what slice is your salami?
Yeah, before I say do my slice of my salami, I think that it's very clearly going to have to be a Bloodline Rules match. Like, so it's like, why even build it up if you're not going to give it to be a Bloodline Rules? So something's going to happen, obviously, with that tag match. Does Seth take the pin? That'd be interesting. Is there a DQ in that match? Maybe you get the DQ and then it's over. Anyhow. Okay, so this is kind of a weird one. You know, it really slices my salami. Watching Attempted Murders in AEW when they're using ridiculous weapons. Like, they're stabbing people in the head with a screwdriver. Julia Hart's got a spike. I'm not saying that the implements of damage are wrong. But I'm just saying is that, like, really, are you really trying to sell us that you're doing Attempted Murders in there? Like, Edge had a thing. He had a giant mace. Like, what? You're going to hit someone with that. Like, I don't know.
A chair
is good enough for me. But, like, it's like when Drew McIntyre was swinging around the sword, like, at people's heads. Like, you're just going to, we're going to watch a decapitation. What is this, 1400s? I don't know. Watching Attempted Murders happening when you clearly know it's not going to be happening is slices my salami.
Oh, man.
He told you it was going to be a weird one, but
Christian got that bat in the testicles and, like, kicks, like, 10 times. It was great.
Oh, my God. It was so good. Okay, so I have a question for you, because I don't think it's a slices my salami, but I was watching, I think it was NXT, and I saw a lady low blow, and they reacted like it was a man's low blow. Yeah, and I'm not saying that, like, that's not, it won't hurt, but, like, the level that it would hurt is probably this. Maybe I'm overstepping, but, like, it's significantly different. It's not the same. It's not a disqualification, is what I'm saying. In the men's match, that's a disqualification. In the women's match, that's not the same.
I mean, wow.
We're gonna get canceled.
It's not the same. The gun match on the inside, not the outside, the guy is hurt.
I would agree, but I mean, I don't think anybody here would know how that would feel. I mean, like, Fuck, if you're going to give somebody a low blow right in the roast beef sandwich, I mean, I have no idea what's going to happen there. It's like surreal.
Right in the beef curtains.
We could actually probably ask some people and find out. That's basically it. I mean, yeah.
All I'm saying is if you watch King of the Hill, Peggy Hill, like, you know, historically took it in there, and it was like Bobby, because Bobby Hill's move was
let go of my purse.
And then kicks all the boys right in the testicles, and then when he does it to his mother, nothing happens. I'm just saying, is it weird booking to see them book an ending to the match where they have a lady low blow?
Is that because it didn't follow the rules of King of the Hill?
I've never experimented.
Josh, there's a way to figure this out because Chris actually wrestles his wife, so get him to do it and find out.
I feel like if you have, I mean, this is a little bit PG, but like, you know, if you've done a really good job satisfying your lady, you might have done it that hard to her already.
Oh my
Jesus
God.
Christ.
Yeah.
Although maybe you're not going at a long enough distance, right?
Chris, what are your final thoughts of the podcast?
I feel dirty a little bit, actually. So probably going to take a shower after this to wipe off all these feelings that I have. Probably start writing our goodbye since we're going to get canceled. I'm probably going to do that tonight as well. So and new thoughts. Well, if we're around, enjoy our next episode. Hey, we'll be around. We're just kidding.
Josh, what are your final thoughts of the podcast?
I'm just asking as from medically speaking terms. It's not a big deal. Don't worry about it, Chris. It would be fine. We're not going to cancel. I said that we could say things that are way, way worse. This is now different. That's all.
I'm just busting your roast beef sandwich.
Anyways, Shockmaster, that's what I have to say.
Good old Arby's.
We got the meats.
Oh, man. Well, we got our final comments in. That's going to be it for us tonight on the Rub Wrestling Podcast. So basically, if you think about it, wherever you are in the world, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night from everybody here. We all bid you adieu. Roast beef. Beats running copacetic. When it all falls down, I hope you don't forget it. Nickel City, son of anarchy, the hype demanded me. Mikey damage, show you amateurs, the cost of vanity. So fuck humanity, flowy murder open handedly. Most of my clique, yo, they come from broken families. The world that we know is coming to a closure. Can't find peace in a world full of soldiers. Can't stop getting older. Up north, where the streets run colder.